Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK, Historic Fisk University, and What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance, also brought to you by Mount Zion Baptist Church and Integrity Dental Care. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. And it is Pastor's Roundtable for the month of November. My guest pastors are Reverend Michael Cousins Sr. of Olivet Missionary Baptist Church and Reverend Travis Tullis, Associate Pastor of Priest Lake Community Baptist Church in Antioch. And I hope Antioch is listening. We have a lot of listeners out in Antioch, so what's up, Antioch?
That's right.
We do. And we're glad to have you all tuned in. If you missed a portion of the broadcast today, be sure to check out the new 411 Show podcast. If you go to the website, SharonKay's411.com, and click on that big thing that says the podcast, and it'll be a whole bunch of shows up there, other Pastors Roundtables from other months, other years, and by the time I empty out the archive, which has thousands of interviews in it, it'll be so much up there you'll be listening for the rest of your life, because I have a treasure trove of interviews and discussions over all my years on the air, and some of you all might hear yourselves. Shane, is that what I sound like? Yes, it was what you sounded like. So this one today will be on the podcast probably in about a day or so. Maybe today, maybe possibly. Anyway, now, before the break, I know I was going into an area of this country and the change and what the elections said. The elections said the opposite of the messaging coming from the leadership.
Yes.
In Washington, the electorate said that they are happy we are a diverse nation and they don't disrespect us that are. And that to me spoke volumes. Other people that looked through strange colored lenses saw something different. Following the elections, Reverend, tell us, what did you see that the people were saying?
Pretty much similar to what you saw.
Mm-hmm.
The part about it all is that resonates with me. Mm-hmm. Is that the way that the leadership is right now, I view that as openly racist.
Yes.
And but at the same time, I believe that depending upon how we look at it,
mm-hmm.
it could actually be an opportunity, because mm-hmm. right now with this presidency is a clear message to us that we cannot rely on these people.
Right.
And because we can't rely on these people, we have to rely on one another, which could be an asset to us,
mm.
Where we can begin working mm-hmm. together and building out opportunities
mm-hmm.
for ourselves and for our children.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very clear, I've explained it to Reverend Cousins, I grew up in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very familiar with Donald Trump
mm-hmm.
and what he's about and,
yeah.
and his history and all those types of things. So when someone is open like that,
mm-hmm.
and you know that.
Because he had a Trump Tower there Atlantic City, right?
He has a Trump Tower in Atlantic City.
And it went
City.
Out of business.
Yeah, and he owned a whole lot of properties in New York, and he was a political influence
yeah.
in New York. The thing that resonated with me was that whole thing with the Central Park Five.
Yes.
And how he was so vehement
yes.
about that whole situation
yes.
when those young men were actually innocent.
Mm-hmm.
And so the point is, if we look at it, it could be one of the best things that happened in this sense that we have no choice but to work together.
That's true.
That's true.
And we've had issues with working together.
Right.
But right now, we can galvanize and we can build things and create opportunities with the Lord's help for our people.
Okay, and before I ask you, Reverend Cousins, mm-hmm. now, how does that work on the minds of the people that are the haters? Okay?
Well, this might be upset some people, but historically, we've always taught our people
mm-hmm.
to forgive.
Yes.
And we've always taught our people to be peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
And we've always taught our people to write things from the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that it's their responsibility to teach their people
mm-hmm.
the truth and to teach them the same way. And if they refuse to do so, there's not going to be an opportunity to reconcile. We constantly reach out to them,
mm-hmm.
but they have to teach the truth to their people, similar as we do. Because one thing about our history, and I believe that the gospel community, the evangelical community has done very well,
mm-hmm.
is to teach our people not to harbor bitterness
yeah.
so that we can move forward. And they have not done the same.
Nope, have not.
They have not done the same, and they have not owned responsibility for what has happened.
Nope.
And until that occurs, until the Lord moves in their hearts to do that,
mm-hmm.
I think we need to take heed and see things the way they are.
Yeah.
And begin, not just begin, but continue
yes.
to build and grow and protect ourselves yeah. and our families and build out opportunities
yeah.
for ourselves, especially when it comes down to education
oh, yeah.
and job opportunities.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. What about you, Reverend Cousins?
Well, you know, when I think about how things have happened over the last couple of years,
mm-hmm.
I kind of see it as a wake-up call for America in general.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is that too many of us, and I'm saying too many of us, not only black but white as well,
mm-hmm.
Didn't really think that racism was really an issue
right.
like it had been.
But mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but since this president has been in power, he's opened up the eyes of America mm-hmm. to let us know that racism is very much
oh, yeah.
alive.
Oh, yes.
Very much alive.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, and sometimes, you know, God works in mysterious ways.
Yes, he does.
He has a way of bringing about things that had been hidden
mm-hmm.
or put under the cover,
mm-hmm.
and now it's been exposed.
Mm-hmm.
So now people are really seeing, not just in America, but around the world,
yes.
how racist America
mm-hmm.
really is. Now, as a kid growing up, you know, my grandmother raised us to not hate anyone. And so, however, she also taught us not to trust everybody.
Right.
And so over the years, I guess you might say, growing up and realizing that, because when I grew up over in John Henry Hale,
mm-hmm.
we didn't see any white people.
Mm-hmm.
The only white people we saw was the insurance man and the police. There was
that's
the only
real
thing.
Right there. That's
and,
real.
And the mailman. But so, and of course, in me growing up, I went to all black elementary school.
Sure.
Graduated from Pearl High,
okay.
original Pearl High, all black. Went to Tennessee State, Fisk, and American Baptist College. So I really had not been exposed to a whole lot of interaction with white people.
Okay.
But I also had enough sense to know that I wasn't going to tell them all about my business.
Right.
So over the years, there were very few white people that I worked with that I would invite to my house.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't because of any type of mm-hmm. Being prejudiced. It was just this trust issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that right now, too many of us had put too much trust
mm-hmm.
in the government, where and the government really, you know, had been a hindrance to us
yeah.
in a lot of ways. I worked with women on trying to get off of welfare, and I saw that welfare mentality
yeah.
where you had one generation to another generation, but it was like the government was, in a sense, controlling
mm-hmm.
because they felt like that if if they could give you enough money to keep a roof over your head and enough food to feed you, that that would keep you content. So, but now we realize that that really wasn't beneficial for us.
Right.
Because we become too dependent on other people. So now, as Reverend Tallis was talking about, that our people need to be more educated about how to help take care of ourselves and work together.
Yes.
Because this I've, you know, my 66 years, I've never seen anything like what we're going through as far as our government is now.
Yeah.
And it's just unbelievable.
Nobody has.
Right, it's just unbelievable how people can believe somebody knowing that they're telling a lie.
Exactly.
Just because you're white.
Right.
So,
well, that shows you how powerful the white entitlement is.
Yes, yes.
And for those that still act like they don't have it, y'all are tripping. There's something really wrong with you, because you certainly do have it. And I think one of the things, like you, Reverend Tallis, Donald Trump has, I've been on the media a long time, he has been glaring us in the eye for a long time. Mm-hmm. Anybody who has seen a headline any time in your life, you know he's been all in the middle of it. I find it deeply disturbing that when Barack Obama was president, we worried about his Christianity so much.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And he's not Christian enough, and he don't know the Lord, and he doesn't go to church, and he can't quote the Bible, and he ain't preaching, and he ain't singing, and blasés. And now we have the person on the opposite end of the spectrum that the evangelical movement does not even ask if he attends or who's his pastor or does he know the Lord. His actions indicate that when people are in distress, down and out, if it's a hurricane, a fire, flood, or what, he could care less. Sure. That is absolutely the opposite of what a Christian
absolutely
should be feeling. So when you see that, Reverend Tallis, and you come in contact with people that come to you and say, how am I supposed to, when we got the leader of this and you expect me to do blah, 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 and the Bible says, what do you tell them when they come to you with a house of confusion like this?
I tell them what Jesus said. You you judge a tree by the fruit it bears.
Yeah.
And like you said, that behavior is very clearly unchristian.
Yeah.
And you have to understand and know that one thing about America is that the biggest crime of America would be that its government has never protected all of its citizens.
Mm-hmm.
It's never given us access to the commonwealth of the nation.
That's
even
true.
Though we built the commonwealth of the nation.
Right.
And so the countermeasure is, what do we do about that?
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's all about, to me, is if you can't see this, nobody can help you.
Right.
It's very clear, and we've always, like he said earlier, like with the welfare system, you're talking about from 1970 all the way on, where the family was broken up and how they controlled, how all that went, that the government has not protected us, has not given us the things that we need.
Right.
So that means we have to depend on God and also depend on ourselves. So for me, it's more or less, how do we build out opportunities for ourselves?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when it comes down to my children, you know, and the other young children, I always encourage my children, not only do you need education, but you need to create jobs for yourself.
Yes.
And if you look at other people, they have a tendency to create opportunities for their children.
Yes.
And things like that. So I believe now, if you can't see that now, you should see it. And the opportunities are out there for us to start thinking that way and actually do them.
Yeah.
You know,
the doing is the issue.
The issue is doing. So getting the education and then actually striking out and doing it. And go ahead and open up your business.
Well, and let me say, Reverend Cousins, that in terms of education and what's available to people now, mm-hmm. there's so much. There's absolutely no excuse.
Right.
None. The bus in certain neighborhoods is free, if you depending on where you are.
Mm-hmm.
The school, in some instances, might be free, depending on what you apply for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, food banks. I mean, it's just like there is absolutely no excuse.
Right.
How do you ignite a fire in a person to make them want to do something, to get up off those beds of affliction and do something? Encourage and say an encouraging word to people who are two generations getting a check, welfare check. Are y'all serious? Right. You have absolutely no, what's the word I'm looking for?
Get up and go.
Yes, yes, yes.
Get up and go.
Yeah, you just have a not even get up. You have a lay down and get, lay down and give it. I mean, what a sad life that is.
Right.
Well, when we come back from the break, I want you to talk about that, because I'm still trying to understand. You know, the welfare check is so tiny.
Yes.
And y'all know gas is $2 and something.
Right.
And a loaf of bread is $2 and something.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's like, it's the value you put on yourselves.
Right.
You have no initiative. That's the word I'm looking for. I mean, it's no get up and go. No initiative. No, there's no fire started.
Right.
But we want to hopefully somebody will hear this today and get the fire started. And because third generation on the welfare check, oh, come on, mama.
Right.
Tell your kids and grandkids to get up and get on up. I mean, really? Seriously, black folks? Come on now. Let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
Listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
It's What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Hello, Nashville. Coming up Wednesday afternoon at 4. It's the day before Thanksgiving, and I have a lot on the menu this afternoon. First, renowned cancer physician Dr. Philip Salem on his new book, Defeating Cancer. Then, holiday feasting and staying skinny with chef and author Parker Wallace. And 10-year-old Nashville author Jada Scott talks about her very first book. Then at 5 o'clock, historical fiction author Wayne Grady discusses his latest book, which focuses on the issues of race and self-identity.
That's What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, twice a week, every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 6 p.m. and every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here on Jazzy 88 WFSK.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is also being brought to you by Mount Zion Baptist Church. Join the Mount Zion Baptist Church weekly prayer call every Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. Central. Request prayer or listen to the playback of the call at theprayercall.org. For more information, please call the church office at 615-254-7296 or download the free Mount Zion Baptist Church app from your favorite app store.
This is the last weekend before Thanksgiving, and we're going to play some, well, Thanksgiving blues.
No shame in my game. Everybody knows Sweet Angel is my name, and that's what I do.
That's Sweet Angel, and she's not talking turkey this weekend. Join me, Rogene Bailey, the happiest turkey in America, for Blues Time in the City, where we give you the blues without giving you the blues this weekend right here.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Catch Blues Time in the City Sundays from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on Jazzy 88.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is also brought to you by Integrity Dental Care at 397 Wallace Road, Southern Hills Medical Center, Building C, Suite 314. Regular dental visits are essential to make sure oral health problems from tooth decay to oral cancer are detected and treated in a timely manner. At Integrity Dental Care, your oral health is our paramount concern. We want to make sure your teeth stay healthy, function well, and look great. From regular cleanings and exams to advanced restorative treatments, all of your routine dental needs can be met at Integrity Dental Care. For more information, call 615-445-8700 or online at integritydentalcares.com. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And you know, X, we always say on the Pastors Round Tables, it's the show you hear, and then it's the show that happens behind the scenes.
The one that should be podcast.
Yes, Lord, we just had a good conversation in here. And Reverend Cousins, I was getting ready to go to you to get your comments on, you know, the folks that you know, we talk about multi-generational welfare. I'm like, my mind can't even wrap around that one.
Right.
Encourage somebody who is in that spot that might need to hear a word today.
Okay. As we were discussing, one of the things that I was saying was that the last 5 years I worked at Metro Government, one of my job responsibilities were to work with dropouts.
Mm-hmm.
Not only dropouts in terms of youth dropout, but also mm-hmm. older adults. And so one of the things that I was responsible for doing was to talk with these people who had dropped out of school
mm-hmm.
and let them know that, you know, it's not too many things that you'll be able to do without a high school diploma or GED.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the places like Metro General Hospital, Vanderbilt, and a lot of other places,
mm-hmm.
when they did not require that you have a high school diploma or a GED to mm-hmm. work in housekeeping or dietary,
mm-hmm.
they now requiring that you have to have a minimum of a high school diploma or GED
sure.
to work in these places. And one of the things that I would say to encourage them, don't you know it's more to life than just where you are?
Yeah.
And I said, now, if you just commit yourself to getting your high school diploma, GED, mm-hmm. I said, that opens up a whole
yes,
lot
does.
Of other doors
yes,
for you.
Yes, it does.
I said, without the high school diploma, GED, you can't apply to get in college.
Right.
And a lot of places, you can't even apply for the jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So, but getting that high school diploma, that GED, also says that you're not a dummy.
Right.
Because they don't give away GED.
No,
you got to earn
yes,
that.
Yes, you do. Yes, you
and
do.
So, you know, once you make that commitment, then that's the first step.
Yeah.
And then the next step is that once you see that you can do that, the world is unlimited.
Yeah, yeah.
There's so many opportunities out there that people haven't taken advantage of.
That's true.
One of the things when I was working with Metro,
and then we're gonna go to phone.
Okay,
go ahead.
We had some money that was channeled through the federal government through mm-hmm. our office, and one of the things that we were doing was that we were able to help people who had automobiles get their cars fixed,
mm-hmm.
buy tires if they needed them mm-hmm. for their cars. We were able to help help them pay rent if they got behind 1 or 2 months.
Yeah.
And we also had something worked out with Metro Housing where they had what was called a rent freeze.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say if your rent was $40 before you went to work.
Okay.
After you, normally in public housing, when you go to work, your rent goes up based upon your income.
Right.
Well, we had worked something out with them where they would freeze the person's rent.
Right.
For a year.
Okay.
At 40, and so they could make $500 a week.
Wow.
And only pay $40.
Right.
But most of them would not take advantage of that.
Well, that's ridiculous. Yes. And that's the part I'm like, God, please. Let's go to the phone, 615-329-8810. Good morning, Linda. How are you doing today?
I am blessed and highly favored this
yes,
morning.
You are. Yes, you are.
First, I just want to commend you for your long-standing community dedication. You have just been a stalwart in this community, and I wanted to first just personally thank you for what you do for the Nashville community.
You're so good. I love you.
Same to you. I'm really enjoying your show this morning.
Yes, ma'am.
And I am a very proud member of Priest Lake Community Baptist Church.
Hey.
Where my pastor is Harold James Freelich Sr. And my brother there, Brother Tullis, I want to give a shout out to him for doing a wonderful job of representing our church body. And your grandson, we love Brandon. He is like our child. And we are so proud of what he has done thus far, and how Curtis, how they have shown father and son
yes.
love for one
yes.
another.
Absolutely.
But I also wanted to just give a shout out to our academy. You know, you're talking about things that can be done in
mm-hmm.
the community.
Mm-hmm.
And just when the Lord gave our pastor this vision in 2011, there were a lot of naysayers. But as the scripture tells us, where there's no vision,
mm-hmm.
the people perish.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have, those of us who have been around Priest Lake for a few years,
mm-hmm.
have seen where we came from a Bible camp, just a summer Bible camp,
mm-hmm.
to now having a accredited academy, Christian academy, from pre-K
mm-hmm.
to fourth grade. And the thing, Sharon, I want to say about this academy is those students love coming to school.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They love the word. They are, as far as academics is concerned, they're above the national average.
Mm.
So they're getting the education, but it's in a Christ-centered environment.
Mm-hmm.
And our teachers don't have to spend half of their time with disciplinary action.
Mm-hmm.
You remember when you and I were in school, that was just unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
You did what you were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we have kind of taken that stance that, yes, we're going to love your children, but we're going to correct them too.
Yes.
And so I just wanted to give that shout out to our academy. And for those of you who are in the Antioch area, we would love for you to come by and just visit and see what we have going on in this Priest Lake Christian Academy. It's the best kept secret in Antioch.
Well, I didn't know anything about it till just now, so I'm happy to hear that with when Reverend Tullis brought that up. I was like, they do? Because I haven't lived in Priest Lake for a while, but I do have some history of being in that neighborhood. And
yes.
That's much needed in that area. So you all are meeting the needs of that particular community, and hopefully they will respond to you all being there and bring their children. Because it sounded to me like they're going to get a good quality education.
You are absolutely correct. And I appreciate you taking my call this morning.
Absolutely. Now, what's the number there so folks can call, Linda, so they need to call?
Brother Tullis, do you have that right off? Well,
yes.
I can give it to you. Area code
615-366. Oh, you got
36,
it?
Yes, 366.
Uh-huh.
1423.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And we'll give that at the end, too, Linda, okay?
Excellent. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And again, God bless the work that you do in the Nashville community.
Thank you so much. And
right.
God bless you as well.
Thank you.
I'm about to call my grandson. They said, Granny, love you, boy. Granny, love you. He's my firstborn, and he's born on my birthday, so he has a special, special place in my heart. I'm so happy to hear that. Now, We were, I asked both the pastors to speak on some scriptural spots where it talks about the lack of work and what the perils are. And can I start with you, Reverend Cousins, if you give us some of your scriptures and some of your thoughts on just what happens not working?
Well, you know, the scriptures talk quite a bit about not being idle.
Right.
And, of course, we understand that idleness can lead to a whole lot of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that that I was taught about having a work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things a lot of our younger people don't understand
mm-hmm.
is that work is rewarding.
Yes, it is.
And it's satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you may not be able to find the exact work that you want to do, your dream work.
Yes.
You know, because when I graduated from Tennessee State in business administration, the only job I was able to find at the time was selling insurance.
Right.
And you didn't need a college degree to sell no insurance.
No.
Right. And so what I'm saying is that, but it was work. And I've had many jobs where I've worked as custodians,
mm-hmm.
I've delivered pizza,
right.
I did food service.
Right.
And they were not necessarily jobs that I wanted to do, but they were
but
jobs.
But you did it.
Yes.
Yeah. To get you to the next spot.
Get me to the next spot,
yeah.
Right? And so sometimes we don't understand that when you are filling out a job application or doing
mm-hmm.
a resume, what most employers are looking for, they're looking for somebody who has a work history.
That's it?
Right. It's not so much as the work that you've done,
right.
but you have a work history.
Right.
And you have a work history where it shows that you're a dependable person.
Absolutely.
So a lot of the jobs that I worked growing up as a kid, I did housekeeping.
Yeah.
But, you know, I never thought that would have a great impact on some things until
yeah.
I applied for a job
right.
in housekeeping, maybe at a Centennial Medical Center one
right.
time. And I found out that
that should keep you humble.
Right, right.
Because you have to pick up after other people.
Have to pick up after other
yeah.
people, right. And so I found out from that, though, from the experience that I had, they were adding 10% for every year that you had experience
uh-huh.
onto the base pay.
Okay.
So I came in making 30% of what the base pay was based
right.
upon experience.
But all those experiences stack up on top of each other.
They stack up, right.
And you're of more value to an employer than you would be if you had none.
If you had none, right.
But I and Reverend Tellus, I want you to give your scriptures, but I have, right now, is one of those time periods where you look and you see help wanted all over, everywhere. So when Junebug gets in trouble,
mm-hmm.
and he's out here robbing and stealing and taking folks' cars and snatching pocketbooks or whatever he's doing, and he could have a job
mm-hmm.
and have a check and be able to sleep at night and not have to worry about going to jail
mm-hmm.
and worrying your mom and them to death. Where are we breaking this? Where is it breaking down? And is it script? Do you see a place in these scriptures about not working that has a lot to do with that?
Yes, the basic principle is if you don't work, you don't eat.
Right.
And a lot of people, what happened is that we want immediate satisfaction.
Yeah.
We're looking at the world. We're looking at the world's lifestyle. You want everything. People want everything right now.
Yes.
And they don't want to go through the process of earning their own way.
Yes.
So, yes, you do have to have a work history, and you have to build that up. But the point is, spiritually, the issue is people don't appreciate.
Yes.
Everything comes out of appreciation.
Yes.
Out of thankfulness of what you have.
Mm-hmm.
When you appreciate what you have, and you dedicate that to God, and you work that, and you honor God with that, God
yeah.
multiplies that.
Yes.
And that's how you end up getting promotion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's how you get promotion
yeah.
and promotion after promotion. And I tell my children, the thing that you have in front of you, whatever it is in front
yes.
of you, whether it's school or your job, you do that unto the Lord.
Yes.
That's scripturally based. Mm-hmm. You do that unto the Lord. You don't do that unto man. You don't do that unto anybody else. You do that unto the Lord.
Yes.
And when you're pleasing God, what God's going to do, because you respected him and honored him with that,
yes,
he's going to give you opportunity. And then because of that work history,
mm-hmm,
that extra opportunity comes.
Yeah.
But when you're floundering around and,
right,
and you're not doing a good job and you're losing this job and you're quitting this job because you want to go on do whatever you want to do,
right,
you're going to have a hard time getting those opportunities,
okay,
all because you disrespected the blessing that you had
already.
Well,
okay, let's enter into that equation, what both of you all have given us.
Mm-hmm.
Unchurched, mama and daddy, granddaddy, grandma. Mm-hmm. Don't nobody know nothing about no Jesus. We don't do all that praying and hollering up in here. We don't, you know, we just depend on check to check, and we go hit the streets and we hustle us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, let's speak to those people when we come back from the
yes,
break. Because a lot of the folks that never hear this word don't ain't never touched the Bible, don't know nothing about it, Genesis or Exodus or Leviticus or anything. Don't know nothing. Bible who? I'm asleep. I ain't got time for no Jesus. Now, you know there's a whole bunch of folk out there that they church.
Right.
They just got in from the club. I have some history.
Amen.
I ain't playing.
Amen.
So I know.
Inside Baptist.
Oh, Lord.
Someone listening right now that just rolled over.
Yes.
That's right.
They like, what's on the radio? Don't even turn it on. I got a headache from last night partying so hard. I didn't call any names in Nashville. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
It's What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Hello, Nashville. Coming up Wednesday afternoon at 4. It's the day before Thanksgiving, and I have a lot on the menu this afternoon. First, renowned cancer physician, Dr. Philip Salem, on his new book, Defeating Cancer. Then, holiday feasting and staying skinny with chef and author Parker Wallace. And 10-year-old Nashville author Jada Scott talks about her very first book. Then at 5 o'clock, historical fiction author Wayne Grady discusses his latest book, which focuses on the issues of race and self-identity.
That's What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, twice a week, every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 6 p.m. and every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here on Jazzy 88 WFSK.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is also brought to you by Integrity Dental Care at 397 Wallace Road, Southern Hills Medical Center, Building C, Suite 314. Regular dental visits are essential to make sure oral health problems from tooth decay to oral cancer are detected and treated in a timely manner. At Integrity Dental Care, your oral health is our paramount concern. We want to make sure your teeth stay healthy, function well, and look great. From regular cleanings and exams to advanced restorative treatments, all of your routine dental needs can be met at Integrity Dental Care. For more information, call 615-445-8700 or online at integritydentalcares.com. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810. 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, Team Nashville, this has been an excellent Pastor's Roundtable for the month of November. Did you all know each other before today?
No.
What?
But I feel like I've known them a long time.
Me too. I'm like, they are just, you know.
Clicking.
Yeah, that's it. I was like, man, this is electric here. It's like you all have, you know, touch and agree, and your spirits are touching and agreeing. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, that is so, thank you, Lord. You just hooked the sister up. Reverend Michael Cousins Sr., of Olivet Missionary Baptist Church is in the studio, and Reverend Travis Tullis, he's associate pastor of Priest Lake Community Baptist Church, and we are happy as can be to have these anointed brothers in the studio. Now, I want to do a quick note before we go back into discussion. And on November 28th, that'll be the Wednesday after Thanksgiving, the 411 show, we're having a very, very special roundtable here on the show. You know, it was no coincidence when I designed this studio to be mic'd for five. There was a reason behind this, because originally this studio was mic'd for three, and I was like, man, we can't do the talks like I want to. So when we did the upgrade last year, I told the company what I'm trying to accomplish, because this station is very few, where you can have an honest, candid discussion about issues that's straight black, okay? We're not trying to tap dance it and pretty it. This is real. And I feel blessed to be here, and I'm grateful to Fisk University for the opportunity to be at the helm. Now, coming up on the 28th, this roundtable will include Judge Rachel L. Bell of the General Sessions Court, Division 8, District Attorney Glenn Funk, Attorney Martesha Johnson, the Public Defender, and Mr. Howard Gentry, the Criminal Court Clerk. These, and I left out the Sheriff, Darren Hall. So we're going to talk about criminal justice issues. Adult side. We'll do the juvenile side another time, but if mama's messed up, you know, Junebug and them.
Yes.
And Cuddin' Boo and all that, they're going to be jacked up too. So we want to get the mamas and daddies straight. And these professionals will be in. We'll be discussing the criminal justice system and how we're all in it. So we might as well find out some things about it so we can stay out of it. Because one thing, you're going to go broke when you go into that system, because they've taken all your money. And maybe some people can learn from hearing from these professionals. Now, today, we're getting the Thanksgiving, pre-Thanksgiving blessing, hearing from both of the pastors that and men working for Jesus are in the studios today. Now, you know, you two are just, actually, we should mic this room for when, you know, in between. When we're in the breaks, because y'all are doing a show in here.
Yeah, they are.
They're doing the show, and then I'm like, well, we, you know, because they just said it on there, we could transfer that over to. We'd have some prepackaged sound in here. But anyway, Reverend Cousins, you had said, you know, some really down salt of the earth, down to the ground stuff. Common sense is what we used to call it.
Right.
And some solid things. Now let's talk about the children that don't have parents that don't know the Lord, don't go to church. Or they may be the children that their mama puts them on the church bus, but mama doesn't go or daddy doesn't go, that type of thing. Let's talk about how we can keep them encouraged at this morning.
Well, one of the things I feel like that how we can keep them encouraged is, first of all, showing them some self-worth. A lot of times when people don't see that they have worth, they don't see themselves as being valuable. And I'm a person who believes that God has created each one of us for a purpose. And sometimes we have to help people to realize what that purpose is. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we don't see our own purpose, but we can sometimes let people know. You can observe folks from the outside. A lot of times we can't see ourselves on the inside.
Yeah.
But we can encourage people who don't know the Lord by saying, you know, you have some, I noticed that you have this type of gift. I've seen you do this kind of thing. And I mean, some of the people that, and then of course also not only showing people self-worth, but also being able to talk to them on their level.
Yeah.
One of the things that I found out before a lot of these teenagers that I used to work with would listen to what I say, they had to trust me.
Mm-hmm.
They had to believe that I really had their best interest at heart.
Yes.
And once they realized that, you know, Mr. Cousin, for real, you know, because they've seen me, if they need it for job interviews, I've taken them and bought clothes for them out of my own pocket.
Wow.
You know, because I knew that, you know, we could have rode around to some, a Goodwill and those kinds of places, but they needed something right away. So so I'm saying that we need to just encourage people and let them know that you have self-worth.
Yes.
You know, you're valuable not only in society, but you're valuable in the sight of God.
Amen. What about you, Aaron Jones?
I agree with everything he just said. And just to build off of that, it's helping people to understand that you, yes, you do have a purpose and that you are good enough already and that you're smart enough already, even though the world is telling you a totally opposite message. So what I like to do is encourage people to deal with their immediacy, meaning like you got things you got to do right now. How are you doing? You're in school. How are you doing in school?
Right.
And why can't you? What's hindering you from rocking out school, being the best in school? Because I know that if you're able to do well in this thing here, it's just going to build momentum going forward. Some people just need to be able to be successful at something. So I like to teach them to set their, instead of letting everybody else set standards for you, learn how to set your own standard and learn how to be your best self. So when I work with them, we talk to each other, we set goals, and then we try to identify what's the thing that's hindering you from meeting that goal. So some people, when it comes down to school and things like that, it's the reading, it's the writing, it's that type of thing. And then you, like you did, you would go get resources for that and help them with that. So, but when they get to see that next step, they see the progress. Now you're starting to build something. So it's more or less, I'm encouraging them to believe God. I want them to know that you can't do that by yourself.
I've got to say, how can you tell somebody to believe God? They can't. He's not touchable. He's not tangible. I can't go.
God can touch anybody.
I know, but see, I'm unchurched. Let's just say, for example,
and I was unchurched too.
That. You know, I don't know nothing about it. My mom and them didn't go. My granny, I don't know nothing about that place. That you're trying to tell me to believe in something that I mean, really. And that's the level at which the children in the streets are in.
I know. So the thing is, all of us have come from an unchurched background.
Yeah.
All of us. But one thing I do know is that God is able to reach those people because he reached me.
Yeah.
And the second thing is that once... I know for me, when I was doing my best, and I was struggling.
Yes.
I'm talking about big-time struggle.
Yeah.
And through that struggle, when people came like you, came talk to me and encouraged me and things like that, and I realized some improvement in here, I knew that it wasn't me.
Yeah.
So it's one of those situations where people got to come to themselves.
Yes.
And we got to trust God with that process.
Yes.
And if they're going to sustain and flourish and things like that, they have to understand and know that they cannot be self-reliant.
Yeah.
You need help. You need other people.
Right.
And also know that there's things out here for you. But if you don't believe, you can't see.
Right.
So that's just trying to get
so
them on that
track. So they can't see themselves as being blessed or know,
they can't
even know what it is.
They can't see it because they don't believe it.
Okay.
So we got to get them to see it. And we got to get them to believe it. And I believe God, he's the one that manages those processes to get them to that.
Mm-hmm.
And but for us, especially young black people, we have to learn to stop defining ourselves by other people's definitions of
us.
Yes,
right. Well, that's it right there.
We got to stop. We cannot accept their definition of us because it's disjointed and it's not
true.
It
is disjointed.
It's not true.
And then the other thing is that we have to stop downgrading our own people.
Exactly.
You know, we have
Jesus.
Right. I know when I graduated from high school, mm-hmm. you know, some of the teachers that I had didn't believe that I was college material.
Wow. Me either.
You know,
that happened to me too.
Right.
My teacher actually told me flat out that I can't go.
Yeah.
They told me when I went that, well, let me give you this background. I grew up in New Jersey. And I grew up in a town called Union, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. At that time, the majority of the town was white.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a couple of black sections of the town.
Right.
So when we went to school, we went to an integrated school. Like you said, you didn't go to school.
Didn't go to integrated school.
I went to school with them.
Right.
I went to school with them.
Yeah.
And we face racism regularly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When, you know, they're learning mathematics and things like that, they had me in the hallway. For nothing,
yeah,
you know, and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But anyway, when I got the chance, when it was time for me to go to college, I was discouraged to go.
Yeah,
it wasn't. We had like two black teachers in that whole school.
Yeah,
and that one teacher stopped me in the hallway and asked me what I was going to do, and I said I'm going to go to work like my brothers and sisters. That's what I'm going to do. But she hooked me up with this man at Fairleigh Dickinson University
mm-hmm.
and got me into college.
Right, mm-hmm.
and I was able to go and flourish and graduate.
Right,
but they didn't encourage me to do that. They told me everything I couldn't do. I had a hard time reading and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Yes.
But it was some people, my sister, she gave me a sports magazine
mm-hmm.
and gave me something I liked to read, and all of a sudden my reading and everything
became. Right, right.
So I knew from there God did something. I didn't plan that. It didn't.
Right.
People poured into me, and then resources became available.
Yeah.
I was so determined.
That's the background.
Yeah, I was so determined to prove the teachers wrong
mm-hmm.
about me not being college material, that my first 2 years at TSU, I paid my own tuition.
Really?
Yes. And so that first quarter, of course, I played around.
Yeah.
And when I got the midterm grades, having DD,
well,
FFs.
It was close to time to go home, wasn't it?
It was like somebody slapped me.
Yes.
And said, "Fool, you know, if you fail them classes, you got to pay to take them over again."
Oh, yeah.
And so a light bulb came on, you know. And so it was a thing where I say now. And, of course, at the time I graduated in 1970, you know, Dr. King had come through and you know, and did his speeches. And, matter of fact, I was a kid when Stokely Carmichael came up here on mm-hmm. Fisk campus and had the riot started and everything going. But one of the things that Dr. King, that I remember listening to him, was that knowing that if you're going to be a street sweeper, be the best street sweeper that
Amen.
You can.
That's it.
So what I did was that I said, now, if Dr. King said that this can happen, I believe that I can do anything that I set my mind to do.
Amen.
And so that was an encouragement to me, you know, to say, hey, I can do it. And after that, finishing my first 2 years at TSU, oh, man, I was on a roll.
Well, what you all have both described is based around esteem.
Yes.
Your self-esteem mm-hmm. is at the center of everything that you all have said.
Right.
So there's a lot of issues for people out here
right.
that are struggling because they have no esteem for themselves.
Right.
None whatsoever.
That's right.
And that leads to an awful lot of bad decisions.
Yes, it does.
It really does. And I know that I could open up Pandora's box with just that subject, but we're almost out of time. And I wanted to address this right quick before we close up shop for the families in California
mm-hmm.
during this Thanksgiving season.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we all sit bountifully blessed mm-hmm. in Nashville,
yes.
regardless of what material things we have.
Yes.
We're not breathing smoke-filled air, for sure.
Right.
And, you know, folks with asthma, they know that would be, or lung issues or whatever, they know that would be tough.
Mm-hmm.
Give us an encouraging 60-second thought on family and friends, loved ones, still missing, lost, dead.
Amen. Amen.
And
right now we're about to go into the high holiday season.
Yeah.
And some people, they just struggle with that.
Yeah.
Well, what I'd like to do is encourage people, regardless to what. One thing that you need to know, that you cannot be depressed and be thankful at the same time.
Well.
So whenever you're getting into those moments, mm-hmm. learn how to practice thankfulness.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible teaches us that the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Mm-hmm. Our strength. Mm-hmm.
The joy of the Lord is our strength. So yeah. in order to feed that strength, that and increase that joy, mm-hmm. it's all about your thankfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always something to be thankful for.
Mm-hmm.
Because things don't have to be the way that they are. They can actually be worse. Even mm-hmm. though you feel like it's you hit bottom,
yeah.
the real bottom is bottomless.
Yeah.
So I just want to encourage people during this time, practice thankfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, when I say that, I mean do it in the moment. When
yeah.
when that thing starts coming up, because sometimes I even deal with it every now and again.
Mm-hmm.
But what gets me out of that place
yes.
is focused thankfulness.
Yeah. Now, this one we're going to do it real quick with you, Reverend Cousins.
Okay.
I saw a lady on the news who said, "I'm not thinking about God right now." She's standing in the midst of her whole town and everything being mm-hmm. burned down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as if to say, "God, who?"
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was like, oh man, that's got to be a low spot.
Mm-hmm.
Speak to her for a second.
Well, one of my favorite passages of scripture that have come about here of late is a scripture from Psalms of David where he says, "How can I repay the Lord for all of his goodness unto me?"
Yeah.
And sometimes what we have to realize that even in our worst situation, God has been
Amen.
Good.
Yes,
Amen.
Amen. And so I think about what is it can I give?
Yeah.
For all of his goodness unto me. So I say that even to people that may be going through something right now.
Right now.
Yeah. Think about how good the Lord has been.
Has been.
To you.
Amen.
Amen. And if you think about it, there's nothing you can repay him with
yeah.
except
That's
for yourself.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. Well, I just know that he's going to fix it for them. They might be
yes.
in better condition than they were before. It's hard to say.
Yes. Because
only God knows. We want to close up right quick. Do you have anything going on at your church this week?
Yes, yes. This week, we're having a sunrise service on Thursday morning
okay.
for Thanksgiving
okay.
at 6:30 a.m. We're located at 3325 Anderson Road.
Okay. What time is service today?
Today, we have two services. We have one that's in progress right now,
okay.
7:45 and 11 o'clock. We have service at 11 o'clock.
Okay, and what about you, Reverend Cousins?
Our service starts at 10. We do our Sunday school at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
And on the second Sunday in December, we're having a Christmas cantata where we're coming together with another church called Faith United
okay.
Missionary Baptist Church.
Amen.
So,
right.
and it's in the afternoon at 3
Public
o'clock.
Is invited to
Public is invited.
Both of those events.
Right.
And we're going to ask, in the tradition of the Pastor's Roundtable, that we do a tag team prayer and that you all pray us out in a speedy manner. amen. And, you know, our thoughts are with people during the holidays, but as well with people who have lost things.
Yes.
So, Reverend Cousins, I'm going to start with you.
Gracious Father, we just want to say thank you, first of all, for this day that we are here. We realize that it was only because of your grace and mercy that we are here. And, Lord, we want to pray for those, Lord, who have lost things, lost family members. We pray, God, that you will give them strength and courage, Lord, to continue. Lord, we may not always understand what you do, but we know that you're still in control no matter what. So, Lord, we'll continue to always give you all the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Father God, we just want to say thank you for just being God and God all by yourself.
Yes.
We ask you in the name of Jesus to bless all those who are having troubles right now, because we know that you are a God that's very present in the time of trouble. So, Lord, we ask you to touch all the families who are in bereavement, all those who have lost some loved ones.
Yes.
Grant them your peace and send them your blessings. We say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, Y'all sealed us up tight. So we thank you both for coming, and we will definitely have you both back because you're good at solving problems. That's some of what this broadcast is about. Now, you all have a very blessed and happy Thanksgiving. This Wednesday coming, we will be broadcasting some pre-recorded content that you've never heard so that I can go home and cook.
All right.
And eggs can see his family.
Yeah.
And we wish that you all have the most blessed Thanksgiving with your new attitudes of gratitude. And you will have the very best of the best. And don't forget who loves you.
You've been listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station and its management.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.